Who are you?
Is that a real question?
Kinda. Well, okay, you're Olivia. Miss Olivia, as some call it. Bill's wife, as the teenagers say.
Mm-hmm.
Rude. How long have you been training?
I think this month is actually 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about... Well, when did you start in Factoria?
April 2017. Right?
I thought it was in March.
April, March, right?
Okay,
now.
Well, then yeah. That's what I'm going based off of. Wait, hold on. That's not right. Yeah.
Okay.
No, hold on. No, that's not right. Maybe I'm going off of... Because I didn't technically start then. I mean, I went to, like, 2 classes, so I'd probably go off
for
of
sure
when I actually
2,
started at
yeah.
Cascade, like, signed up legit, like, was like, okay, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So probably March of 2018.
I think you could probably... start from when you started at Cascade.
Yeah, because the other ones, I literally went like yeah. 2-3 times, and then I didn't go for like a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there was quite a big gap from Factoria to...
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even have like a stripe. I didn't even go... I didn't do anything. So I was basically like a trial run.
Right. I mean... You can't call it a strip, though.
I didn't call it a strip. I called it a stripe, you butt.
No, you called it a strip.
No, I didn't. We will go back and look.
It's not a piece of meat.
No.
You can't just lather it up and put it on your belt.
Okay, well, this guy thinks he's a comedian, so.
You're going to be so mad when you hear that you called it a strip.
I didn't call it a strip. I called it a stripe.
Okay. Well, what we'll do is we'll pipe in at the end me showing you and playing it.
Okay. So, 2
okay.
years. I've been doing it for 2 years.
Okay. That's good. And you are a blue belch.
It's actually called a belt. Okay. You want to play that game?
Well, there's actually a little bit of joke to why I said. Okay. I'm going to eat your apple.
I will eat my apple.
Okay. Okay, so 2 years. Been at pretty much Cascade the whole time. Did a little stint, couple classes in Factoria, which was a sister gym, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who is your instructor?
Andrew Solheim.
Wow. Didn't call him professor, but I mean, it's cool. He won't care. Okay.
I didn't know we were being so formal.
Okay.
I realize I yell a lot.
You do, and you're peeking the thing pretty hard.
I'm sure people will love this later.
Yeah, they will. I mean, I know why. But why'd you start training? What got you in the door?
I just started... Actually, the reason why is because I saw a news article... Why are you making that face?
I'm listening.
Okay, with the goofy grin.
So a news article.
Yes, a news article about Carter Subaru,
uh-huh.
They were under construction, and a homeless person broke into a mobile restroom that they had on their premises that a woman, a service customer, had gone into first thing in the morning, and she was attacked. And for some reason, that just made me decide that I wanted to train so that I can learn how to defend myself. I think it's because more and more of, like, those types of situations were going on, especially with, like, the homeless problem in Seattle. So you just never know when someone's, or you're going to be put in a situation where you're going to need to know how to defend yourself.
Yeah, and you work, at the time you were working at car dealership, so it, right?
Yeah.
So it kind of struck home a little bit more that something crazy like that could happen. You just never know.
Yep.
So I think we made a choice to, or not choice, but we decided that 1 year was, no matter what, you were going to put in a year. I think I wanted you to get your blue belt.
Might have even been 6 months that you were, like, even a minimum of 6 months. But I know you really wanted me to try to get my blue belt before just quitting.
Yeah. And I think that was because in 6 months you can, if you're going consistently, I think you can really take the skills for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, to when you're comparing to someone that's never done anything, you're going to be able to, if you're consistent for those 6 months, you're going to be able to have skills that get people off of you, basic positions you understand, or at least you felt. That's kind of one of the craziest parts, I think, in the beginning, is when you feel someone on top of you and you can't, you try to get them off and you can't, you realize how helpless you are.
Yeah. And I think I've heard in other, like, podcasts or other things like that, just how you really don't realize, you imagine what it would be like if someone, like, attacked you and what you would do. And you imagine yourself having a lot more strength than you actually do. And so when you're actually put into a situation where even someone your own size knows positions and other things and what they're doing and how to control you, you realize that you're actually really helpless. And yeah. I think, I don't know, it's just good knowledge to kind of know that it's not as easy as it seems, that adrenaline isn't going to necessarily carry you through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only going to do so much for you, but actually, it's a lot more difficult and way more different than, you know, you think in your mind. It's a lot more tiring.
Yeah. That's probably the thing I noticed in the first maybe year and a half that I could noticeably tell got better was the cardio side. Because I couldn't finish warm-ups. And I'm sure there's going to be a joke in there that I don't show up for warm-ups. Which is partially true, because I partially come to warm-ups, but, in the beginning, I literally could not even come close to finishing. I had to take multiple breaks, sparring, I had to take breaks within sparring rounds. That was wild. So then, I mean, it was at least 6 months until I started, like, I could still be tired going through the warm-ups, but I could go through it.
Yeah.
And I could do, like, I could spar around and then take the next one off. Then spar again. It takes quite a while, I think, to build up that
stamina, endurance.
That back-to-back cardio where you can just have good rounds just one after another.
That's true.
In the beginning, you're also working so hard for frivolous stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think as you train longer, you become more efficient in your movements, in your breathing, and yeah, you're just not using up as much energy, constantly moving, constantly using strength, tightening your muscles, tensing up when you don't need to.
Yeah.
You're more loose, so you flow better, so you're not as tired at the end.
Yeah, even like the guard positions. I remember when in the beginning your close guard is so intense. You're squeezing their ribs as hard as you can, and then grabbing every wrist just like you're gonna break it just in one grip. And then you start to learn like being looser in the hips and the legs, and with moments of tension is way better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I think you're right. It was 6 months or so that we wanted.
At a bare minimum.
Bare minimum, yeah. Yeah, that was like.
But really, you really, really wanted me to push through to. I know the ultimate goal was like, if you can get your blue belt, like, that would be the best.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's 6 months. There's certain things you can definitely absorb and probably take forever. But certain things will fall off for sure over time by not practicing. But getting your blue belt from a legit instructor, you not only will you have some movements down, like shrimping, and just body awareness, you will have actual jiu-jitsu movements down. So you should be able to get out a mount from someone bigger than you that doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
Like, it might be a struggle because maybe it's a 250-pound dude, you know, and that's a crappy situation. But you should still be able to get out of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. In that blue belt level, I think you really get that. And then you get to the point where there's sweeps in there. You know, you got probably at least one sweep that you could threaten on, you know, like a purple belt or something like that. Someone that knows jiu-jitsu. So that means that little tool is so sharp that you can go at someone with that knows jiu-jitsu. If someone doesn't know jiu-jitsu, you should be able to sweep them off of you or something of that sort.
You're talking about if you have a blue belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think anything less than a blue belt, honestly, I don't know. I think you should get at least a blue belt if you're wanting to learn how to defend yourself, because you're just beginning to learn jiu-jitsu when you get your blue belt, basically.
It kind of just starts to become fun.
Well, it starts to click. Yeah, it becomes more fun. You're able to, like, retain and remember stuff and use moves, and then you can start using more technical moves.
Yeah.
And you get details down more, but I think you feel more confident in what you're doing when you get your blue belt.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. Why do you do the things that you do?
I'm sorry. I'm a sniffer. I'm sorry. I got it from my mama.
Well, Coke's a hell of a drug.
Okay.
You set me up. You can't.
I didn't set you up at all.
It was basically a wiffle ball just coming at me.
Okay.
And
what's your next question?
Put my TPX on it. You were asked once. not too long ago.
Okay.
And I thought this was a funny little question, because your answer was not what the person expected. And it was, do you love it? Do you love it?
I don't even remember what my response was.
Do you remember the question?
Was this at...
another gym.
Yeah.
Yeah, we dropped in, and there was other ladies there that, you know, you'd never met, but it's, you know, there's obviously that kind of camaraderie that you have. And she was,
I think at that time, because I, I was probably like, what, a 2 or 3 stripe?
White belt?
Yeah.
Probably 3 stripe. Yeah.
What, 3? Okay. So.
We can call it 2 if that makes a difference.
Okay. Yes, I remember that.
Because they were an upper belt. That obviously it's part of their life.
Oh, this was the upper belt, not the new person that had just like signed up. The one where I told them that basically they're just gonna get crushed for a long time. I'm pretty sure they didn't expect that, and I think they were horrified.
This was at a place you dropped in at that you said this?
Don't you remember it was a open mat to a new gym in Seattle?
Oh. I didn't know that there was like a new person there. I thought that, because that
was
like a grand opening.
It was like coming and visiting, and I think they were checking it out, and I think they maybe won a membership, or maybe for like a month, or maybe they just decided to sign up, and they were like, oh, how do you like it? And I was like, oh, it's good, but you know, like,
So this, you were like a 2 stripe for sure. You were still pretty fresh.
It was an upper belt who asked me?
The time you're talking about, you were like a 2 stripe, you were still pretty fresh.
Okay.
The time I'm talking about, you were probably a 3 stripe, like almost towards the end of the year.
I feel like you need to refresh my memory.
At Sleeper Jiu-Jitsu, at the grand opening.
Okay.
There was a gal that sat next to us.
Oh, yeah?
Because you weren't rolling with anybody, you were, except for me and I think Andrew. And
what did I say?
Well, she just asked how long you been training, and you were, she goes, so smiles, do you love it? And you made a face like you smelled a fart. Like you're in the elevator and
Well, I think it's because I've never I don't know. Maybe I haven't drinking the Kool-Aid.
I'm not going to let you slip. What'd you say?
The Kool-Aid?
Did you say Kool-Aid?
I didn't. Okay, you need to get a hearing aid, sir.
It's funny you say that. I have one in my freaking ear.
I said Kool-Aid, but... I don't fangirl out. Like, I enjoy jiu-jitsu a lot. I get a lot from it. I miss it because the past couple weeks I, you know, been really fatigued. And so I haven't gone in, and I'm craving going back in. And it's definitely a part of my life. But I don't sit there and go, oh, I love jiu-jitsu. I don't know how to describe it. It's just. I do enjoy it a lot, but I just don't think I'm, like, one of those people that's, like, over the top.
Right.
Like, it's something that I want to do and continue to do, and I don't see me not doing it in the future. Like, I want it to be a part of my life, but I've never been, like, had this deep emotional, like, attachment to it.
Kind of like, just, like, working out or something. Like, it's very common not to, like, I love working out. But you work out because you get enjoyment out of it. It does something
Yeah.
for you, probably on like a emotional level with getting rid of stress, but
Well, yeah, and I'm not saying that I don't think that that affection will grow, 'cause I noticed as like
the more
I got
people you can
promoted to,
kill, the
yes, the
more
more
you
people
enjoy
I
it.
can kill, that's great. But more so it's just employing the skills that I've learned, growing with that, having more fun with it is gonna make me probably love it more and more. But I'm just like getting to that point where it's becoming more and more fun. Like white belt was not easy. White belt was really hard. It was not, it's not a easy journey.
There was many times you cried.
Why are you calling me out right now?
Well, you're a crier.
Okay, just keep coming.
It's that's not like a bad thing.
Okay, I'm sure there were,
If I
yes,
was a
many
crier,
times
it'd
where I
be a
cried.
bad thing.
But usually the times that I cried is because I had a rough day, I was really tired, emotionally just at my limit, and then I go into class, someone beats me up, and it doesn't feel good. I'm ready to go home.
Just eat some quesadillas.
I never want to eat a quesadilla.
I do.
I know you do.
what was my question? I forgot what my question was.
Well, you asked me what did I tell an upper belt
Oh, yeah,
about
about
how I felt about jujitsu.
loving it. Yeah. Well, then I don't
Well,
think there's.
I think most people think that if you have your color belt, then you must be like die hard, you know, love, 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 like, but that's just not me. I really, really enjoy it. I get a lot from it, and I think I'll continue to grow in my love for it, but I'm not like I don't know how to describe it.
I think you've done pretty well, because it's one of those things where there is a little bit of an expectation when you're a colored belt, I think, that like you're all in. You're about it. You can name like lineage of your professor, you can name who won Worlds last year.
Yeah, I know none of that.
You do know a couple though.
I know a couple people, yes.
Yeah, Keenan Cornelius.
Yep.
Who's your favorite jiu-jitsu practitioner, you'd say? Professional. I don't count. And if you don't even have one, that's totally fine.
I don't. But the most entertaining would probably be Keenan.
Yeah.
Just because he's funny to listen to. And
Yeah.
it's kind of awkward.
Yes. Yeah, a little bit. And I think that's, you're actually more common than most. I don't think most people that practice jiu-jitsu and do jiu-jitsu, they watch a ton of competition stuff.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. I think there's like a 25% of the gym, 30% or something like that. They're watching a decent amount. But then you have people that got kids and just a life, and this
There
is
are
just a nice
hobbyists.
escape. Yeah.
Yeah.
So going back to Seattle Jiu-Jitsu, where you told a newbie that it's horrible and you're going to get beat up for the first year of your life, how'd she react?
I don't know. Basically, she looked horrified.
Like actually visually, you like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like I don't think she expected me to say that. Like at all. She probably thought I was gonna be like, "Oh, it's so much fun. It's great experience."
A lot like yoga, but
Yeah, you're going to pick it up quick. It's going to be just great. No.
No.
Not at all.
Not today, Satan.
Not saying that there isn't, like, wins. You know, when you, like, get a move, get a sweep, get a submission, your first submission, that's really cool. But the majority of the time...
Who was your first submission? I'm just joking.
I remember what it was. It was an omoplata.
Well, I know you probably remember. You probably remember who it was, too.
I do remember.
Gosh, you're so rude. I'll drink, too. Well, I still tell new people that, though.
I know you do. That's where I got it from.
Oh, okay.
It's better to be honest, though, because if they have some weird, unrealistic expectation about it being, like, super enjoyable and relaxing, or that they're going to have success right off the bat, that's just setting up false expectations, and they're probably more likely to quit. So at least if you are honest with them,
yeah,
you know, I think that at least they're more mentally prepared. And then they also don't get so frustrated when they are losing all the time and realizing, like, this is completely more normal.
Right. And I think you're totally right, because I think we want a baby, a new person, a lot of the time.
You want to make them feel good about themselves.
And we want them to stay, and we're like, hey, you're doing a really good job. And, like, you know, you rub their feet a little bit and just, like, get them comfortable. And I don't think
you rub their feet? That's weird, Bill.
I rub your feet.
Okay, that's true.
So we just try to, like, fatten the calf a little bit, you know? And it's because we want
to ease them in.
We don't want to
just throw them into the deep end.
Yeah.
We want to put them in the kiddie pool.
Yeah. We're all like mini Bikrams, the yoga guy, right? We're all like little
cult
leaders.
That's
who
we want to compare ourselves to?
Well, have you seen his no-gi setup on that little documentary? That guy shows up to open mat. You're in trouble. But, you know, we're like little cult leaders. We're like, oh, this will change your life. This will feel so good. You know, so we baby them. But I think the more I've thought about this, it's good to just be straight up with them.
I agree.
And maybe even...
Well, I think that kind of weeds out the people who, you know, can't handle that kind of stuff.
And they're not going to be able to handle it whether you baby them or not. They're going to get to a point a month in, three weeks.
Well, people are not going to care anymore, and they're just going to go hard. They're like, Well, because they also sets up a false expectation that they're actually better than they are when you baby them. Like, especially with dudes. Like, they have to understand, like, strength isn't going to get you. Well, it's only going to get you so far. And a lot of times then they start thinking, like, oh, wow, I'm actually really good. Maybe I should have a colored belt.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
Yeah, there's definitely a confusion for new people that didn't look into jiu-jitsu and, like, do a bunch of studying like I did. I was a fan of jiu-jitsu for 10 years before I jumped on the mat because I'm a nervous Nelly. And... so I already, like, knew a bunch of the stereotypical stuff and all that. And then obviously being around MMA gyms a bunch, that helped as well. But, like, new people, they don't understand that, like, an upper belt, in the beginning, they're going to go, like, 30%. And they're still beating you, but they're going 30%, you know. Obviously, give or take, at moments, there's going to be a more or less. But there's that thought that a lot of new people, not all of them, but a lot of new people have, where they're having success. And they think it's, like, super legit. Like, oh. A nice purple belt, buddy. I might get that by the end of the year because I just... pinned your leg to the mat. You know.
Yeah, things like that.
And that's why I think I'll throw Andrew under the bus a little bit. You know, it's good to put the smush on new people a little bit. Not the whole role, let's say, if they even spar or in situational. But there has to be a little bit of ramp up so they understand where they're at in the world of
where their position is.
Yeah. Your knowledge level right now puts you here. As, you know, Joe Rogan said to that guy that asked him, like, what's the benefit of jiu-jitsu? And it was like his buddy that's a comedian, Eric Griffin. And he responded with, well, if we got in a fight, I'd kill you. Simple as that. And that is as, you know, simple as it is. And you don't have to be like a super aggro gorilla man like Joe Rogan that's a black belt.
Yeah, I would think the bad part, just to reiterate that, yeah, about babying people is they just have this really false idea that they're way better than they are, and if you continue to baby them, they will grow a huge ego and really like and get cocky, and then they're more likely to get hurt or tick off other people
because they start
being like, oh yeah, I did pretty good against you, and not realizing that actually the upper belt is holding back and they're being kind. And that's one thing I'm thankful for with you is, like, I've always known that even now, if I'm going up against an upper belt that, and I feel like I'm doing pretty good, that they're being nice. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't legitimate times where I probably get certain positions or stuff like that, but for the most part, they're letting me work and being thankful for that and not being cocky.
Just know when you tap Chris, it is all legit. Yeah. No, I mean, you're totally right. In if it's, in my opinion, a good upper belt, especially when they're going against smaller person or less skilled or something like that, they're going to, like, allow the person, not just like a dead fish. I hate it when dudes do that. We talked about that last open mat.
I mean, you got to give me some sort of resistance, my goodness. Yeah.
What do you get? I mean, if you want me to start on your back, okay. But that's silly.
Well, there's no benefit to me by just doing that. It's, like, not fun. Yeah.
Like, when someone just sits there and, like, okay, get your grips, you know.
Oh,
that sort
it's
of
the
deal.
Worst.
And they don't even fight you or nothing. They just sit there. Oh.
Yeah, and you're just like, okay, what are you, a white belt that just walked in?
Yeah, it comes off very disrespectful. Especially if you don't know him. Because Josh will do this with me, I think, a little bit. He's just trying to slap me in the face emotionally. But I understand that. If I don't know you and you're doing that to me, you're immediately telling me you can kill me. I was going to get a little vulgar there.
Do you remember that one time when there was a white belt during situationals and they got a really deep choke on you and then you guys, like, bumped hands to go and then they choked you, and then they, like, thought that they actually choked you and were, like, kind of bragging about it.
The one that I got choked out on?
Yep.
That I went night-night?
Yep.
Yeah, we were starting in situational with the seatbelt on the back and the grip. Like, you already had a bow and arrow kind of or collar grip.
But I think you gave them even a deeper grip.
Well, no, so they started with the thumb in, like a good choking grip. And then we go, and they fell to the correct side, and I didn't fight it.
Yeah, because you were trying to look.
Well, I wanted to get 90% deep into a sub, because they were a white belt, and smaller than me. So it was like, okay, this is my opportunity to practice that 90, 95, 98, 99% submission complete, and see what I can do without, like, it's a smaller person, so don't muscle it. Like, I could probably, like, crush them or something like that, and they would let go. But don't do that. Try to use technique and position to loosen the choke. And so it was on there pretty good, but I had just got my shoulders. So we were on the right side, and that was the strong side with the choke. I happened to get the bridge and push my back to the left side. And I could feel my left shoulder blade get to the mat, and I was like, oh, I'm almost good. Nope. That was the last thing I remember. And then I wait. Well, all that happens is Andrew and Josh are like, you good? You good? And I'm like, yeah. And I start standing up, like, all woozy, trying to tie my belt. And I'm like, well, the round ended, right? And Josh's big old shit-eating grin, just right in my face, just saying, yeah? Yeah. And, like, I didn't understand what that meant. And then he told me. He's like, yeah, you went out, buddy. So, that's fine. That's cool. That made you mad, but because you wanted to be like the first person to choke me out, which is nice. But yeah, that person then felt like that was like they passed my
like
guard.
It was legit.
They turtled me, took my back, got the hooks, got 4 points, grip fought, got the choking hand, and got rid of the blood going to my brain, and there was nothing I could do about it. I had to have them walk me to my car because it was dangerous.
And that person's no longer there.
It's true. It's true.
They can't tell that story no more.
Oh, I'm sure they're telling someone.
I'm sure they are.
I choked this dude out.
Well, I mean, that maybe that's why they quit, because they're like, dude, if I can choke out this dude, I don't even need to go here anymore.
That will make it so I don't sleep tonight, that comment. Gosh. That's going to make me really mad, so. That's good. That's good.
Well, while we're on the topic of people thinking that they're really amazing.
We're getting juicy now.
Oh, let's go on to another topic of the fact that
we're going to switch topics again. So that's 2 and that's 5 seconds. Keep going. So I'm rubbing my feet so everyone can see.
And that's not weird at all. Celebrating after getting a choke or submission on anybody.
You're talking about within a training environment, not tournament.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, I mean, even in tournaments, excessive.
It comes
celebration
off. Excessive
is,
does. If
it's
you
like
rip
over
open
the.
That gi,
yeah.
That's
it's
impressive.
A little. Yeah, it's intense.
Yeah.
So, but no, I'm talking about with your teammates who are not your competition. When lower belts get submissions on upper belts, usually because the upper belt is trying to practice something that they're weak at, and then they get put in a situation, and then they get tapped.
Yeah.
Not always, but a lot of the time.
Yeah. Well, definitely. I mean, I would say it doesn't happen a whole lot that I know of. I had a streak where it happened to me for like a month.
People love
or
doing
two.
It with you.
Yes, I don't.
I actually don't think anyone's done that with me. But I also don't have the reputation that you do.
Stingy old bastard.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's just get out there that not good etiquette.
That's true. Yeah, I would say it's... So if at the top you have wearing no sandals...
To the bathroom?
Footwear to the bathroom. That's at the top.
Yeah.
Right. You could probably have stinky ghee, which I understand. I have a couple that are a little touchy. But they're not stinky ghee.
Well, no, they're not to the level of that I've...
Like, we stuck. Wash them. We do the white vinegar thing. But there's just a little something that sticks around in the old armpit area. That's
well,
not
and
what
that's
we're
different
about.
Than in the armpit versus like all over.
Yeah, like I saw on Instagram or something, some people like they'll put their ghee in the sun or outside, let it air dry. It's like, oh, I couldn't put it in the wash, and then I'll just but it's dry, and it, you know, at first smell it doesn't smell bad a lot of the time, but as soon as that thing starts getting sweaty again. Ooh. Holy cat's pajamas. That's beef and cheese.
Well, it's because I think a lot of people think that, or there's evidence that if you put stuff out in the sun, that the sun can kill bacteria and stuff.
Sure, if you're in Arizona, I get it.
Yeah, it'd probably have to be pretty intense to kill the stuff in the ghee.
Yeah. I just, that's just seems.
No,
little...
I mean, that you shouldn't do that. You need to wash it every time.
Yeah.
That's just good etiquette to your teammates.
So I would say celebrating a tap is right below that. As in
stinky.
Offensiveness to your teammates or whatever they're called. Maybe clipping your nails is right there. Because that's pretty rude. I did.
To not clip them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have, like, long finger or toenails.
I don't know why you wouldn't clip them just because of the fact that they cause issues for yourself. They're painful.
Oh, to have them.
Well, yeah, because they get all bent up and it's, like...
In the corners.
Yeah, I noticed it
right. It's always when
you
got a good choke on and you're like, oh, I'm gonna crush this man's soul. And then your nail starts going and inside I'm screaming. Yeah, I know. It hurts, but I have eagle. I must finish choke. Did I interrupt you?
No.
Okay. Because you're looking at me. Like I either took your apple or...
I'll eat that apple.
You're not going to eat that apple.
Well, because I already ate it.
A little more meat left on that bone.
Do
but
you want
it?
You're looking at it. You're eyeing it like you want it.
So, I think it's right there. I did just gash a dude's face, like, 2 weeks ago. His forehead.
Because you didn't clip your nails?
They were actually pretty short. It's just...
You literally actually have to get them really short, because even, like, that
is,
like, too long. Like, basically, if you can see white, it's too long.
I mean, there's opportunity... For a scratch, if there is any white, for sure.
Yeah.
And I went for a collar grip, and he put his forehead in the way. Good defense. And it just got him. Mm. And the next day looked way worse.
Was it Chris?
Travis. The newer guy.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. But yeah, so basically.
I apologize.
To anybody who's new.
Yeah.
Do not celebrate in front of the person. If you want to do it afterwards in the car, on your way home, do it. But don't do it, like, in front of the person. It's just rude.
Yeah, and it makes them feel like shit. Sorry. I don't know why I said the S word.
Well, you said something earlier, so it's okay.
Keep an italic over there. When I had it happen to me, I didn't like feel bad. And some people it might. It could like be like, well, I really do freaking suck. But I didn't feel that. I don't know. It was hard to explain how it made me feel. It just felt like, well, I mean, really, it caused my ego to get up there, because it's like, usually if that does happen, like, a brown belt's not going to celebrate tapping a purple belt,
right?
Or a purple belt isn't going to celebrate tapping a blue belt, most likely. I just can't imagine that situation.
No.
But I think it's most frustrating for the upper belt when you're getting tapped and someone does that, because you are trying to be a good partner and not just crush them, not just tap them 14 times in a round.
You're trying to let them work.
Yeah, so then if they catch you, and maybe you even tap early, like, you're just, you know, you're just not feeling like fighting out of something right now. And the sub was 95% in, there's still opportunity, because their finishing technique isn't quite polished yet, so you could really work out of it, possibly, but you don't, because you're like, yeah, no, it was a good catch. And then you get, like, I just got you. I just got you. And laugh in your face. So, yeah, that's good.
Well, I think because sometimes that comes off as if they now think they should be promoted.
You think that's what they think?
Yeah.
You celebrated after tapping me.
That's because you're my husband, and I can do that.
Okay.
Well, I don't think that they always think that, but I do think that there's a lot of times where that mentality can get into their head, where they're like, well, if I got this person, then I should probably get a stripe, or I should probably get this, or XYZ.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And that's the thing. I think that's why I'm so grateful about having you, because I've always known that even if I got a submission on an upper belt, to never read more into it than what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, because yeah, and that's it, but
and I don't think I've ever celebrated because I knew not to. But number two, I just innately never felt the desire to do that in front of somebody. I just think that's rude.
Like, it feels good. You can understand that, but you're not trying to, like...
Yeah, but usually what I do is, like, if you get something like that, you just move right back into the role.
Yeah.
You don't sit there and go, oh, man, I've been waiting to get you, and this is so exciting, and...
But that's where the shoulder of justice comes in. Because when someone celebrates, shoulder of justice...
You pay them back.
Yeah, it happens usually. That comes out, maybe it's a celebration, or if you happen to catch, like, if you're a blue belt and you catch a brown belt. It happens, right? Or a purple belt catches a black belt or something like that. Oh, the pain that comes after that. And that, you didn't even celebrate. But that's kind of the beauty of jiu-jitsu, right? You're always somewhere on that hierarchy, and you get reminded there's certain things, and it's good for you. It's good for you. Oh, you got one. That means you're getting better. But that pain train is coming, and your name's on the list.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, I've had that where I've gotten a submission on a purple belt, and they Didn't like that.
Didn't like that, no.
They let me know.
Okay, yeah.
The next time I rolled with them, doing the same sub on me.
That'll happen. But and you're going to do it when you're at that point where you can pick what you're going for and still land it and stuff.
Yeah.
Is it weird training with dudes? like when you first started? Because that's usually a big barrier for people, women especially.
Yes. I think it was a little weird.
In what way?
Well, they're just so much bigger. And so you're not sure how are they going to use their strength versus you? Are they going to go easy? Are they going to go hard? Are they going to hurt you? Are they going to have an ego where they feel like they have to dominate you? Also, they sweat more.
That's kind of a tough one.
They got hairy legs.
Yeah. I remember the first time you talked about
sweaty, hairy legs.
An ankle.
Oh, it was gross.
And it was hairy.
But it was someone who, like, really sweated.
Yeah.
Like, guys sweat, but this person really sweat.
So that was like,
and I think they had a dirty gi, like a dirty, dirty, stinky gi.
Bad.
So
dirty.
I was like,
Yeah, that can be brutal.
I mean, thankfully, being at our gym, I get to train with women.
Yeah, we got a.
I mean, basically only women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, sometimes in situationals, I'll get paired up with a guy, but that's not very often.
Yeah, there's usually at least five ladies.
And then another thing is also being at our gym, the majority of the guys, I would say, are probably married, or at least 50%.
Of the gym?
Right? Don't you think?
Oh, not married and their wives train, but...
Yeah. But there are a lot of couples where...
Yeah, there's probably at least 10
couples. The husband
couples
and the wife train.
The train, yeah, but...
But they're upper belts. I mean, the guys are upper belts. I mean, if they're a white belt, I'm not gonna...
Well, yeah, and Andrew doesn't... Like, he pairs. So it's not like that.
Yeah, so I think getting past that part and then also realizing that these are married people and their spouses there.
Mm-hmm.
With those people, if I do roll with them.
Like, there's no awkwardness. Because that was a big thing for you when I even started training. You know, there was an embargo on training with ladies because we just weren't comfortable. Like, you know,
well, I didn't know the environment. I didn't know the situation. I didn't know what the culture was like.
And the people and all that kind of stuff. And then, so because obviously I trained before you. And then once you started going, you could really kind of see the environment. And then you could see how training with a male or a female, whatever.
Well, I think the perception of what happens when you are training... Or what you're thinking about when you are training. It's like,
right. There's
none of that weird
stuff.
You're focused on, okay, I got to defend myself. I don't want to have this person choke me out.
Yeah, you're worried about
I don't want them to break my arm off.
Right.
You're not thinking about anything but defending yourself.
Right. You're really in the moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't do tournaments, or you haven't done any.
Nope.
Have you thought about it?
Yes.
I mean, I know you have. But that's just another thing where it's like, you know, it's kind of expected to do tournaments. A lot, there's always like, people put a lot of internal pressure on themselves to do tournaments and feel like the gym's putting pressure on them. When that probably doesn't even, that's not real. There might be certain people or something that put that pressure, but...
Well, probably also depends on where you train. If you, like, train at AOJ or a place where, like, they are known for, like, having a competition team, they probably... Or a more competitive atmosphere, then they probably are more likely going to want you to do competitions.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you think you will do one... In the near future?
I'm sure at some point I will. I mean, I'd like to try to do one this year. But
what we'll makes see. You want to do one? Since you, I mean, you haven't done one. You've been to them. You've watched me, or we've just gone and supported the team, so you've been to them. But what's made you kind of think about doing one?
I think just having the experience. Just to see what it's like. See if I like it, if I don't like it.
Yeah.
Also kind of see where are my skill levels versus other people in the area for my belt level.
Right. So you can get like
a gauge of like, where am I in that? And obviously just one competition isn't going to necessarily say whether or not you're, you know, at a certain level, but it's just kind of a good experience probably to have.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it'll put you in a mental position that...
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's the other thing I've talked to you about is how it does put you in a situation where, like, probably as close to a situation where you're having to defend yourself. So, like, when you're in a pressure-filled situation and your adrenaline's going, how are you going to react? This person's coming after you to, like, kill you. How are you going to handle that?
Yeah, because the intensity of a tournament is... It's hard to replicate in a gym. Or your own gym, at least. Obviously, you can have super intense training that is normal, but it's just a little bit different. When
it's against someone you don't know, it's not your teammates. You're not really worried about whether or not you're going to hurt them or not.
Yeah, and you don't know their style or, you know, we've been working a certain pass since you've started because that's what Andrew teaches. He teaches, like, this kind of a pass and this sequence, and they don't teach that at all, but they teach this, you know. That can be pretty big. That's also why I like to drop into so many gyms. Because it's, you know, obviously intensity isn't quite there as a tournament, but getting that experience of different looks.
Different people, different games.
Yeah, yeah. Like, obviously today, we dropped into a gym. There was two guys from two different gyms that, you know, their gripping and stuff like that was just a little different. It was, I'd never trained with anyone from those gyms, so it was pretty cool to feel the similarities. One guy, he admitted they don't even teach like guard stuff. They're pretty much wrestling, top pressure, passing, top.
Was that the blue or purple?
It was a blue belt.
That's weird. So what do you do when you get into a guard position?
Probably try to wrestle up, I assume, is what they teach.
That's like the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. There's gonna be people who are just better than you at top game, and they're gonna keep you down there. And what are you gonna do? You need to do.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I don't know English. You need to know how to play both positions, top
for sure.
And bottom.
For sure. I mean, it's one of those things where.
Because you're not always going to be the dominant person. But the thing is that there's a lot of offensive positions from bottom.
Yeah, yeah. It was interesting to hear, but, I mean, he just said it was, there's a lot of MMA-heavy influence, and then he started a gi program, I think, and so.
So, basically, gosh, what's his name?
Local?
Kiai?
No,
Khabib.
Khabib?
Khabib.
Khabib, yeah. Maybe.
Okay. Well, that's top.
Well, yeah.
You're talking about MMA, and so I just assume it's probably like that.
Yeah, I'm sure he has a guard, but yeah, he's gonna be fighting for that top position like crazy for sure.
Yeah, but we've seen people who predominantly try to be on top and them not really work on their bottom and how well that goes for them.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. And then you have
to
because
they're scared to go.
Right.
To the bottom.
And that's why I think Casey's progressing so fast, is because he's forcing himself to sit on his butt. And in the beginning, if he was on his butt, he would just belly down, single leg, you know, and come up. But he's forcing himself to, like, feel butterfly guard. Because, or sit up guard, or something like that, because he's not always going to just be able to belly down. He's going to get promoted, and there's going to be guys that when he tries to belly down, they're going to take his back or out-position him, because they also have 15 years of wrestling. And that scramble is not going to work because they have 15 years of wrestling, but they also got a couple years of jiu-jitsu. So he's getting that guard practice to be able to elevate with butterfly hooks, let's say, and then come up. Kind of throw the person off a little bit.
Yeah.
That's an hour.
I was going to ask you what time it was because I'm about to cook some dinner.
Yeah. Okay. Any shout outs? What's your SoundCloud?
I don't have one.
Why not?
Shout out to Amy Solheim.
Amy from the block. Okay. That's it then.
Alrighty.
Muzzle, muzzle.